Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be here today. We pray and thanks that so many can be here in this building and for those who are online. We pray that today's message that I share, that you share through me, Lord, is able to reach people in a personal way and an intentional way, something that they take something out of today that gets drawn closer to you, Lord, closer to Jesus. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so for the month of February, we've been focusing on a four-part series on values for 2024 that we want to intentionally focus on for Ring Community Church, not exclusively, just intentionally. We've had authenticity, connection, storytelling, and I'm closing the loop on moving forward. And I think that second line is a good way to put it, living in constant journey with God. So firstly, I'd like to share a bit about myself. Some of you may know me at different names or know a little bit about me, so I'll clear the air on that. My name's Cam. I'm a husband, a father in our family of four. I'm also a son and a brother in our family of five. And it's great today that I have my wife, Dale, my sons, Finn. I'm so glad he's in there. That's great. Oscar and my dad, Gavin, here today to be present. I live in a community, so I'm a neighbour. I attend here at Ringwood Community Church, and I have many connections with friends. I'm a sport lover. Oh, man. I like to run. But I particularly follow the ABC of sport. We're talking AFL, basketball and cricket. Come on. I've previously played each at a local level to the best of my ability, and then my body just fell short. So here I am, passionately following it. I've completed studies in civil engineering and management, and have worked as an engineer for the state government on major projects for the last 8 years. I also wanted to talk about my journey with God, a little bit about this storytelling that we heard about last week. So what's my story? Well, I grew up in a Christian household, and we attended a Catholic church, and we were enrolled at a Catholic school. I primarily learnt who God is during church and at school classes. As a teenager, I felt something missing within me, something big, something important. And this led me to go in my own direction, trying different things to fill this void in my heart. And I gave less time to church. You know, in our household right now, my son keeps on telling me that he can do so many things by myself. This was something I very much did by myself. At uni, I met Dale. We became friends, and after some time, she invited me to come and see a new church she started going to, right here at Ringwood Community Church. At first, I said no way. But eventually, after more invitations, I decided to come and see. Ringwood Community Church was a new experience of Christianity for me, where it just wasn't the priest or the pastor that could pray. Anyone could. It blew my mind. And I could see the relationships the people and the pastor had with God. It was something more than I had experienced before. I could see the relationships that the people and the pastor had with God, and I was curious. It wasn't something that was just followed like reading a book from start to finish, but it was a lifestyle, this new feeling of love. The people here at RCC were also really friendly and warm to me from all different generations. And I thought maybe this could be that answer to that big something that I was missing in my life. So I decided to come back. And I joined a young adults group, and I came to learn more. Years later, I found my eyes open to the teaching. My heart softened to realize that Jesus was the big thing in my life I was seeking, and decide to accept Jesus in my heart as Savior, start my new relationship with God, and to be baptized. So how does this about me all tie to today's service? Well, today's Bible reading is from the book of Matthew. It's also referred to as the Great Commission. Jesus set the scene. Jesus returns to his disciples in Galilee after dying on the cross, taking the sins of the world, then rising from the dead and ascending to heaven. Jesus came to his disciples and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey in everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of age." Now, these verses of the Bible apply to Jesus' disciples, but they also apply to all that have accepted Jesus in their hearts as Savior too. So how does Jesus want us to go in our life and fulfill this commit? How do we go at living this disciple-maker lifestyle? Let's unpack this further. So when we meet Jesus in our life, he invites us to come and follow him. When we learn for ourselves that Jesus is our Savior, a transformation happens to us. You know, Paul mentions to us in Romans chapter 6 that our old selves are crucified and we are alive to a new life. It's in this new life that Jesus mentions that we are the salt and light to the world, and that our relationship with God has an impact on those who come in contact with it. Jesus shows us in the book of John, chapter 15, when convicting the parable of the grapevine, that, in fact, we did not choose Jesus, but Jesus chose us and appoints us to go and produce good fruit, everlasting fruit, to spread the good news. If we reflect on this and then go back to the command in the Great Commission to therefore go and make disciples of all nations, what does this mean? If we look at the word go is a doing word, and it's a funny one where it can be both a verb and a noun. So the verb is referring to travel. The noun is referring to attempting something. In this context here, it's a verb. It's to travel. Some may think when they hear go and... to go and make disciples of all nations, that we need to travel overseas, to a remote village, where maybe English isn't spoken, and that's where I need to be. That's where I need to take Jesus. You know what I say to this? That may be the case. Maybe. If that is what God has asked. But that doesn't apply to everyone. What does apply to everyone is this. When I read the word go, I think it's helpful to add on the start a silent as you. As you go. Jesus wants us to bring Jesus to all types of people as we go in our life. I know if I think back to my connections that I was mentioning earlier, there's a lot of people in that mix. So who are the people in my life that need Jesus? I want to show a tool. Some of us may have seen before at a My Friends training session, and it's been also done at a sermon here some years ago, and it's called a daisy chain. Now, a daisy chain, if I mention this at work, they're going to think it's something completely different, where you have a chain around a secured gate and it's got two locks or more locks, so you're able to open it and lots of people can get into a secure there. Not the same daisy chain. I was thinking of this one when they mentioned it at work. It was not great. But anyway. So this one is a tool that can be used for bringing Jesus to help people through multiplication. And that's really important. So here's how it works. You write your name in the middle. So I've put my example up here. That's me. And each petal represents a social group. Where are you in life as you go? So I've put family, I've put friends, I go drop Finn off at childcare, I've got neighbours, I go to a cafe, I go to work at two places, at an office and at site. So I was happy to split them up. Next after that is start to list people in those petals. You know who you think need Jesus. I ran out of space, so I thought it was a bit hard to put it on my daisy chain here on the screen. But this one can be tricky because how do we know if people need Jesus or not? Only God knows that. Only the individual knows that. So I would suggest do a conservative approach here and put down people you know. You can use this daisy to pray for different people in your world. You can also pray to God to reveal who He wants you to have intentional relationship with. When we look at Jesus, whilst He had a high amount of followers, He only invested intentional relationships in the few. Encourage Him to be disciple makers. And this was intentional by Jesus as He plants the seed of multiplication. We'll go through this in a scenario. Take this first daisy as my daisy. And I'm living an intentional relationship with someone from my world. Let's say the barista at my local cafe. That represents the grey petal. This person comes to meeting Jesus, and they too have their own daisy, which has their own social groups and connections. The barista is encouraged to bring Jesus to people, just like I, and they go and start talking to the cafe owner, the next grey petal. And the owner comes to meet Jesus. The owner finds Jesus and has their own daisy and is encouraged to bring Jesus to people. And they go and start to have intentional relationship with the friend at the gym. And you can see what happens here. Each person has their own social connection groups. And if they've got the intention as a disciple maker, they are able to spread Jesus, the good news, through multiplication. I only invested in one. And you can see how much the investing in one, done properly, this is just a scenario, can have that multiplication factor. Now, something that I have got is a daisy chain. And I've printed off a template. This is from my friends. I'm going to have them both at the front and at the back for you to take home and for you to be able to fill out for yourself a good task to do, even if it's just for praying. Now, I mentioned earlier, Jesus wants us to bring Jesus to all different types of people as we go in life. The scenario we went through was an example that could occur in one moment in life. Now that's a really exciting moment. We love when that happens and when we see it and we celebrate it, absolutely. But that doesn't happen all the time. So what about all the other moments in life? How do we sustain ourselves so that we're ready when the opportunity arises? So at the start of the sermon, you may recall, I said, I like to run. Previously, I've been challenged to do a half marathon, a few of them actually. So for those who don't know the length of that, that's about 21.1 kilometres. Okay, once you've done yours in April, you'll be able to do this for sure. I was excited about the challenge ahead. But I was strongly warned from experienced runners, don't just turn up race day and give it a go. You'll fail. You'll fall short. You need to do a lot of training and preparation. So that come race day, your body is in tip-top shape to perform. When I see how we are when I see how Jesus wants us to be disciple makers, the same warning absolutely applies. So you see, I've got a bag with me. I thought I'd mix it up a little bit and get some curiosity. What's in the bag? What's he doing? Is he moving in? Is he being kicked out? No, I'm here. I'm able to go home. It's great. We're good. Now, today I've brought some props. I thought of mixing it up, and I thought I'd share something that's important healthy habits that I've learned in my preparation from my training for the big runs, which I think can represent healthy habits for being a disciple maker. It's going to need some imagination, so work with me. And I've called it Healthy Habits, a runner's healthy habits for being a disciple maker. So we'll go through what the first one is. What do you think it could be? Got a banana and a drink bottle. I'll leave these up here. So these represent studying the word. As a runner, if I'm feeding myself with good food, including portion size, lots of water, and a good amount of sleep, my body is at the right nutrition and performs at its optimum conditions. Conversely, when I eat and drink poorly, don't get enough sleep, and try and go for a run, my body screams at me in pain and I have a poor outcome. Happens a lot. As a disciple maker, when we're studying the word, we surround ourselves with Jesus and his teachings and remain connected to him. And when we don't put in the time to study the word, we're not surrounding ourselves with Jesus and his teachings and have the risk of falling, of forgetting what he taught us and falling into old habits living in this broken world. As humans, we do have short-term memory issues. In the book of John, chapter 15, Jesus tells us a story, a parable about a grapevine. Verse 5, Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." So a reflection item here is regarding our environment, your environment. What are you feeding yourself? Your eyes, your ears, your thoughts. Are you getting enough rest? How is your soul? Okay, time for second reveal. Ooh, a bit smelly. Some runners. Now, I wanted to say good runners, but you can see the condition. They were good once upon a time. So these are some sturdy runners. And this represents being prepared for the long journey ahead. You know, preparing for a big run like a half marathon, the training required to complete, they say, is to build the condition into your legs and into your body. You start really small distance, say like 3 kilometer runs, 3 to 5 times a week. And in between all those days, you're supposed to be resting and getting some gym work in, strength and conditioning, and progressively building the kilometers, building the strength until, and this takes for months and months, so that come race day, your body is conditioned to run the distance. And so a good number that people try and aim for before a 21.1 kilometer run is to be able to do 18 kilometers. That's a good starting point. And at a good pace too. So then when come race day, you bring that momentum and everything with you, you give it your all, and you can put in a good outcome. Now, if you think about all those kilometers in that training that you need to be able to do, you can see there's significantly more kilometers that I need to run, that we all need to run in the training than the actual run itself. And that the performance of your runners, they're key equipment to have a successful outcome. When reflecting on this as a disciple maker, this talks to items that Phil spoke about in week 1's sermon of authenticity, being an authentic Christian. We are called to live a Christ-like lifestyle daily and build intentional relationships. In the book of Philippians, Paul teaches in chapter 2, verse 5, that we must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Now, God is the one who's in the business of transforming hearts. That's his job. And he wants us to help people have the opportunity to come and see, to learn who God is. Important thing to note here is while God calls us to assist, he's the one who changes people's hearts towards him. So, if that's the case, what does God want us to do then? He wants us to walk like Jesus walked. In the first book of Corinthians, Paul says this, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but it was God who made the seed grow. And it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God made the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. So what does this mean for us? We could be the planter who plants the seed. They may be an important piece in someone's journey, but they're there for a small period of time and they go. We may be the worker who waters the seed, the one who's putting in the countless hours, the one who spends a long time journeying with someone. Now, if I reflect on my own journey, I can see at least five key individuals that I can think of that influenced myself in my relationship with God. Some were the ones who watered me, where I learnt, who studied, and shared in the teachings of the Bible intentionally. Some were the ones who planted that seed. I didn't know that they were Christians until afterwards, but I could just tell, after just seeing how they carried themselves, that they were different. And I suspected that they might have been Christians. It was true. So the reflection item here is to think, who were the key people who helped you find Jesus? Did they plant the seed? Did they water? Okay, third item in my bag. This one needs a lot of imagination. If you can't see this, this is a knee strap. Oof, Cam, welcome to your 30s. That's right. Now, for me, this represents faith and trust in God. This might be a stretch. Please stick with me. It'll come. Okay. During my training, as I started to increase the distance in my running, I had hurdles. Hurdles that felt like I just wanted to give up. There was one, which I can reflect on, being sick with a lung infection during the training. It really impacted my ability and the precious time that I had to train. You could hear before how much you had to put in. My biggest hurdle I have faced in running was something called runner's knee. Now, that sounds really good for a runner, to have runner's knee. Not the case. It's bad. Runner's knee is a condition I have where I'm fine when I walk, but after about 1 kilometre of running, it feels like the bones of my knees are rubbing, and it gets to a pain, and the pain quickly grows to an unbearable level and forces me to stop. So that happens for me, as I said, for a really short distance of time. So I seek medical professional help during my training to help improve my condition. This included costly osteo sessions, I'm saying like multiple times a week, painful rehab and strengthening, along with long doses of rest to let the body heal and get stronger. And that resulted in me still having runner's knee the next time I try to run and get that debilitating pain again. At this point, I was getting really upset. I was only a few weeks out from my run and was not happy. I ended up doing that first run in a poor state. Second time around, it happened again years later. And I was just really upset. What's going on? I won't be able to achieve my goal. And past this, I'm going to be limited in life to not be able to run more than 1 kilometre without being in pain. Then I found this. This is a knee strap which costs $15 on Amazon, plus delivery, which says it's supposed to help with runner's knee. And I thought, are you kidding me? Like, after all this time spent on money, on physio, on osteo, on rehab, the pain, that's not going to solve anything. It's just a bit of strap. Anyway, I bought it, waited for the delivery, and when it arrived, I gave it a go. Amazingly, the pain was manageable, and I was starting to run some longer distance. That night, I bought a second pair. It was great. And since then, I've been able to, with my knee strap, be able to get to a state where I don't have knee pain at all when running long distances. Now that's a long story, but for a disciple maker, we will also have hurdles in our life which makes us feel like we just want to give up. We might be in a bad place. We might be in pain. We may be tempted by the devil to do things evil that we may have done in our old life. What do we do in these moments? How do we get past these hurdles? It's pretty simple, this one. It's we are to take it and to give it all to God. Now, in the book of James, chapter 4, we read James say this: humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up with honor. Now, that's some powerful words that James uses there, and he obviously very intentional there. But God wants us to give it all to him in prayer, every bit of it. And when we do, we're to listen to the Holy Spirit. Jesus says in the book of John, chapter 16, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. But he doesn't speak on his own, but he only tells what he's heard. He will tell you about the future. Now, the Holy Spirit is God's way of being able to speak to us. But we need to be able to be listening to the Holy Spirit. We might be able to pray, give it all to him, but if we're not listening to the Holy Spirit, not trying to hear God back, what are we doing? So the reflection piece here is, where do you put your faith when times get tough? Okay, I'm up to my final one. What's my last item in my bag? Another pair of runners. Even dirtier, even more used. So those sturdy runners represent finding a friend. You may have picked it up earlier, but I've done 3 half marathons. My first attempt, I was doing the training by myself. I found it hard to keep up with the demands of the training and life, and my run come race day represented this. Sure, I finished, but the time was not good. And whilst I was glad to cross the finish line, I was really not happy about how I went. The next time I tried was many years later in 2022. Look, I trained solo during that time, but I had my very fit brother-in-law occasionally send me a text saying, how are you going with your training? And that was enough to kick me off the couch and get me on the track. End result was I trained a lot better and finished with a better time. My latest attempt was in 2023, last year. And I had a team at work that was looking to go and do the half marathon. They also said they wanted to train and do it all before work on a Monday morning. Go for a run together. Message was sent in a group chat, and you could all see who was coming and who wasn't. And we also talked non-stop about running, because we all saw each other at work. This training was the best ones I had, and come race day of that last run that I did, smashed my personal best time by a long shot, out of the park, after what I can confirm, and I think others can confirm who know closely, but that was one of the hardest years of my life outside of the run. I'm very proud of that result. Something I won't forget. In my reflection, I know there was a lot of power in my running community, and the same can be said for disciple makers. God designed us to live in community. God wants us to live with people, not just the key milestones, like a wedding, but the in-betweens, the everyday life. This is the way God created us. It's the same in our new life as a Christian. You know, Jesus says in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, for where 2 or 3 gather together as my followers, I am there among them. When we have a friend, or if we're in a small group, or even both, We invite people into our lives and get the opportunity to share what we are going through, to pray with each other, and to have someone follow up with us, someone to hold us accountable. Jesus said in chapter 5, verse 16, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed, and that the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." So the reflection question here is, do you have someone who is journeying with you? Coincidentally for myself, mine's a running buddy, so that works out well. To summarize it all here, I've put a few things in today, so I thought I'd bring them back on the screen. And close in this. Some people may know that we are renting in our house currently and we're looking to buy. We're spending a lot of our time doing our research online on houses and going to places and we're checking them out. And certain ones look good, can't afford it. Certain ones don't look good, don't want to afford it. Some look in between and we might be considering it. And we put these thoughts of a subject to condition. You know, that one looks really good, but subject to finance, maybe, who knows. You know, looks all right from the outside, but I want to do it subject to pest and inspection, please. Oh, yeah. And they might be able to help us out. You know, that is trying to show to the buyer that I'm not fully committed. It's subject to this. If it passes this condition, you know, then I'm on. When we think about our healthy habits to being a disciple maker, to maintaining and preserving ourselves for when the time is right, a reflection point here is, do we have any subject to conditions when it comes to Jesus? If I think about it in the running analogy, I'm ready to do a run, but I'm not ready to eat well. Well, I'm not ready to, you know, give up my busy life and sleep. I'm not prepared to go the extra miles. I'll just turn up race day. That'll do. And when it gets tough, I'm out. I'll just do it by myself. I can do it by myself. What's your subject to? Something to think about. Finally, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we are asked to come on the journey with you and to bring Jesus to those who need him. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one who grows the seed in our hearts and in everyone's hearts. Lord, for the role that you ask us to play as a disciple maker in this multiplication, we just pray, Lord, that you can continue to have healthy habits instilled in us and that we can constantly come to you and friends for support. Pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.